Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education systems, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and healthcare. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family health care plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
Well, I hope you all can hear me, because this is not going to be a long show today, because I am in the dark. Yes, we have no lights. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to get you up on my cell phone here right now. So, yes, I do got you. All right. Who else I got on there? Mr. Michael Bowen.
I'm here.
Okay, I am using my cell phone.
You're amazing.
Because I still don't have any lights.
You're a very talented fellow.
Yes. Hey, I keep trying to tell my wife that, but she doesn't believe me.
She may be right.
She keeps saying, yeah, right. I'm doing it with mirrors. So I can't use my, all the stuff that I've laid out, because that's all on the internet. And since I can't get it on the internet, well, I could, but you see, no, realistically, I can't, because it's on my computer. All the stuff is laid down, it's on the computer, but it's not in my cell phone. So I can't get it. So we're just going to have a charming conversation here for about an hour or so. Because that's all we're going to be able to do. And I just wanted to know, how are things? How's the kids?
You trying to put everybody to sleep?
Yes. Because I wish I could go to sleep right now, too. But since I can't, and we have a few things that we could be discussing. Matter of fact, I'm late. It's going to be running out here to pick up Blake. But since I am on my cell phone, I can talk to you as I'm picking up Blake and talk to the people who are listening in, who I couldn't even send I'm sorry, I can't have a show today because I couldn't send it out because I don't know who I sent it to because it's on my computer and I don't have all those hundreds and hundreds of people's names that I normally send something out to during the Thursday night telling them I have a show. So I figure I come on there and they can listen to me bob and weave a little bit. And as a matter of fact, as soon as I pick up Blake, I'm going over to my other daughter's house, Janine's, because it's getting a little chilly in the house here now since we haven't had any heat on since about 4 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I guess. So, and it's in the, it was 48, but now it's going down. I think it's about 43 now. So anyway,
guess what? Newsflash.
Yes.
Currently 65 degrees Fahrenheit in Antarctica.
Yes, I just saw that. It popped up. It popped up on my email. 65 degrees in Antarctica. Oh, gee, is there a global warming here? No, it can't be because the president said there is no such thing as global warming. I'm sure that's what he said. Didn't he say that?
I'm sure he did.
Yes, so I just don't understand. How can there be 65 degrees in Antarctica? Isn't that supposed to be the coldest place on the earth?
I believe you're correct. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so anyway, the thing is that we have the Orange Menace, as you like to call him, very gracefully.
He certainly is the Orange Menace, no question about it.
The Orange Menace is the person that's trying to now say, you know, I was never guilty of anything. I don't understand what these people are talking about. What were they saying? I knew it was all lies. It was all lies. Yes, it was all lies. Yes, I'm sure. It was all lies. But what are we to do? What are we to do when you have someone who tells lies? He tells lies and lies. And that's, I don't know how that's even possible. How do you tell a lie on a lie? I was just reading some stuff. I was downloading it on my cell phone so I could pick it up when my computer gets back up. All the stuff, what ticked it off was that he was introduced, I think, because he's here in Charlotte today, you know. Right now, he's at CPCC, Central Piedmont Community College. And his first half hour, the first half hour after he was introduced was naming all the other criminals in his organization that's in Charlotte. That's what he was doing. Naming all the other criminal, capos in his organization. And he had one of them there, this real renowned genius, Ben Carson. And I said, you know what? Something just hit my mind. Said, gee, what has Ben Carson done since he has been in charge of HUD? Now, remember, they kept saying, why is Biden's son, why is he appointed to the board of Burisma? He knows nothing about oil. He knows nothing about gas. He's never spoken about it. He does not turn on the stove in his own house. So he knows nothing, absolutely. Well, I'd like to know, what the hell does Ben Carson know about HUD? And do you know what he said? He lived in a HUD projects when he was growing up. That's why Drump appointed him to that job. He lived in HUD housing growing up.
Is that so?
He knows absolutely nothing about handling. And listen to this. Forget about it. It's $5 billion overseas. This man's in charge of $10 billion worth of subsidies. He's not introduced one single thing since he has been the HUD chairman for over the last 3 years. Not one. Now, we have to look at this, and that's not because he's dumb. He's dumb about HUD. But he's not supposed to introduce anything to HUD. He's supposed to make HUD fade away. It's just like when I was EEOC person in charge when I worked for the federal government in the Eastern District. The person who was appointed at that time was a little man. He wasn't really well known, but he's known now. He's the only black man on the Supreme Court. He was appointed by Reagan to be the head of the EEOC. Why? He knew nothing about being anything about EEOC. He was put there to kill EEOC. When he first got there, there were over 10,000 complaints on the books at EEOC. His job was to do nothing. Because if you don't get to an EEOC complaint, I believe that time was 18 months, it's automatically dropped and you have to reapply again. And he was, it was so perfect. He did such a fabulous job there. Because in his first 2 years as in charge of the EEOC for the federal government, he cleared up 7,000 jobs. 6,200 or so were dropped because they never got there to hear the complaint, because the time ran out. How about that? So, this moron's job is not to do nothing for HUD. Nothing. Just to let things slide by. That's all his job was. That's all his job is. So, Carson is stepping down at the end of his term. November or January, wherever it's coming first. And he can say, yes, he has done such a great job for HUD. Right. We're going to talk more about this next week, because I did a whole thing on it. I read this. It was about 8 pages. And all the things that this man has done, it's just been outrageous. What he hasn't done. So this is the things that we have. I mean, not to have things go well. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to actually screw up anything. They just don't have to do anything. How about that?
Crazy.
And that's one of his things that he's accomplished as the the so-called, you know, I hate to say president anymore. Matter of fact, I'm not going to say president anymore. I'm going to say the man occupying the White House. Because he's not a president. He's not a president of these United States. He's a man, and I use that term loosely, occupying the White House. That's all he's doing. He's just occupying the White House, taking up space, and making sure that no one has the chance to do anything else to help this country. That's all it is. He's taking up space to make sure that no one else is in a position to do anything for this country. So this is where we're at. This is what the people have wanted. This is what, they keep saying, you know, well, the man in the White House was saying today in Charlotte, hey, he says, well, you know, it's only the East Coast and the West Coast that cares about, that's really involved in the Democratic Party. The rest of the people throughout the middle of the country, they're not Democrats. They're all conservative Republicans. This is what he's saying. Well, if that's the case, how come he only got, I don't know, 39% of the vote all year, except for this time? He's up to 49. And that's 49% of the 85% that are voting for him. He doesn't have 100% of the 85% that are voting for him. He only has 49%. So this is something that we have to think about when we say, oh, he's got so much power. He doesn't have so much power. He doesn't have any power. And as long as we keep thinking that he has, he doesn't have the power, we will be in a better off position. We just need to remember that. So,
except for facts that are missing in your reference,
yes,
to his lack of power. Number one, I heard recently he has something like $400 million in the bank to spend any way he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, primary season is still forthcoming in the Republican Party, and he can rapidly deploy Tea Party or Freedom Party people to run to the right of any Republican who defies him.
Well, that's true, but see, that's the Tea Party people, and they are small, not that the small, they're dying off. There ain't many of those left. With all the Tea Party people that he had and when he ran in 2012, that still only got him 39%. So, you know, if he has, and there's less of those people now, I don't believe that there is a major crowd that he can now bank on without trying to con us that he has him, that he has his crowd. I just don't believe it. And people believe that he is the person that's being, that is the chosen one, as he tells from God. He's the chosen one. Well, if that's the case, let's see. You know, he claimed about what a big victory he had in Ohio this week. Well, he's the only one running. What a big victory. He's supposed to have a big victory. I mean, how can that be? I mean, this is what he was putting out here at CBCC. We had such a mad, fabulous victory. And everybody started flooring. Oh, they were pulling crazy. And in Ohio this week, it's the biggest victory anybody's ever had. Yeah, you didn't run against anybody. I mean, it's so unbelievable.
Well, it is so unbelievable.
Again,
between all his lies and misrepresentations, when he says these things and it's picked up by Fox News or a variety of other distribution channels that cater to people that voted for him, that's all they see.
Right.
They don't know there's no opposition because they tend to be low information level voters. They just don't check into the facts. They don't want them. They believe everything they hear coming out of his mouth.
How low of a voter do you have to be to know him? Did you see anybody running against him? I mean, I don't understand that. Wouldn't you have noticed somebody running against him?
Only if you happen to be living in Ohio, and only if you happen to be a voter. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It is.
Let's skip to.
Yes. Okay. Wait. Let's see. We got Mr. Fortenberry, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Sir, and as you notice, I'm not on the computer line. I'm calling into the cell phone because I don't have any power.
Oh, wow.
Tell the general public why.
Well, we had the biggest, you're absolutely very good, Mr. Michael Bowen, calling all the way 10,000 miles away in Toronto, Canada? Not really 10,000 miles.
Not 10,000. It's probably 1,600 maybe.
11, yeah. Anyway, we had a massive, massive tornado outbreak in Charlotte. I believe it's less 100 years. Is that right, Thomas?
Yes. It was pretty bad storm. It had 4 in Charlotte area and about...
Yeah.
For 8 in the county area. So,
yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, one was, I think, a mile from my daughter's office, about 3 miles from us, from where I live.
Too close for comfort.
And, they came down.
Off of one of the portable rooms at my daughter's school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What school did she go to?
Oh, she's over here on this side of town, not your end of town there, Mike.
Yeah, I know. What's the name of the school?
Well, we don't want to name the school there, sir, from all of our lovely viewers, my children. But, yes.
But it's public school. But anyway, is that public school? Yeah. The thing is that... I'm telling you, they were really outrageous. The tornado outbreak, and it went almost the entire day.
Yeah, it rained for almost 24 hours straight. It was pretty sad. My yard is still half a lake. It's pretty neat.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, as I said, the last 100 years or so, I don't remember. And the rainstorm that hit my house was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe how bad it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't help that it's been raining since Halloween.
Like, the
so
creek
it's
that runs... The creek that ran through... There used to be... When I first had the house built over here, there was a creek that ran through my yard. About a fourth of my yard. And we said, man, this is nice. There's no house behind us or anything. It was just the forest, sort of. And then when I finally moved down after renting out a house for 7 years because I couldn't get down, I couldn't get transferred down here, finally got down here. Before I came down here, Hugo hit. And it rewired that creek. It moved the creek almost 100 feet over. just outside. Well, it was still a little bit of my yard, but maybe about, oh, maybe about 15, 20 feet goes into my yard. And the rest of it goes down the back where they built houses where they weren't supposed to build houses. So was overflowing yesterday. I'm sorry, those people went down there. They've had so many problems down there. So, and they,
well,
as a matter of fact, it's being straightened out now. That's right. It was a flood zone. That's what I was told. I said, this would be great. And the people who were building my house said, listen, you've got a great thing here. There'll be nothing behind you because it's a flood zone. He said, but it'll never come up to you. Don't worry about it. It never did come up to me. But 7 years later, somebody else got that contract back there, and they paid off somebody. They built 3 houses back there in the floodplain, which were flooded every time it rained.
Yep.
So, anyway.
You know, but we don't need those regulations and stuff, Mike. It's just
we need regulations for
business.
That's right. I mean, is that what the man in the White House says, which I won't use the word president anymore because he's not the president. He's the man occupying the White House. He's almost like one of those guys, what do you call those people that come into a house and just take up residence? What do you call those people?
A squatter.
Squatter. That's what they are.
Yeah.
He's a squatter. He's a squatter.
Golden toilet.
That's right. Who has Secret Service. And the Secret Service doesn't realize he's a squatter. He's not actually the president. He's a squatter. I mean, give me a break.
Oh, did you hear?
Anyway.
He's so magnanimous that he donated his third quarter salary to the opioid crisis because he says he cares about America so much.
Oh, no, he didn't do that. Did he?
Well,
what did he do with his first two?
Like every weekend I'm golfing, so it doesn't really matter. It's all taxpayer money, but anyway.
Well, what did he do with the first two quarters? Who did he donate that to?
Probably, Junior and whatever the other one's name is. I can't remember. Revis and Butthead, the two guys. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, Revis and Butthead, right. Well, that's because they took away his piggy bank, what do you call it? What's that?
The charities that he was losing.
Yeah, the charity. He took that away. Yeah, they can't do that no more.
Yeah.
So he's
that's what's getting me.
Doing
I can't believe we had the, double blow the last couple of days. Not only did we get the impeachment, the non-removal acquittal BS, but then now we got the freaking court case where they said that the Democrats.
Well, that was just one.
No legal standing.
Right. Well, see, the Democrats never thought that they were going to win this one because you had to have legal standing in Washington for this one. But see, the other two, they do have legal standing because it's New York.
Well,
and they will have legal standing there.
Driving me nuts.
So that's all right.
Clear. You don't need legal standing for a constitution. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, the thing is that he is now a it's just like when he was in New York City running around like some lunatic. He had nothing but lawsuits against him. He still has lawsuits against him being a squatter in the White House. So there is no difference. He hasn't
nothing
changed
ever,
a bit.
Ever is held accountable for anything in his life, but that's okay.
Well, but you see, sometime in your life, one day in your life, you're going to be accountable. One day in your life, you will be accountable.
I would appreciate it being one day being Donald Trump Day, just please.
That day, it's coming. It's coming. That day is coming. And we're like all these other kids out there. Oh, no, I want it now. I want it now. I don't want it tomorrow. I want it now. I want it now. You trying to tell your kids. It's going to happen. Take your time. It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. And that's what you have to just take a deep breath for. You ever see that commercial that's on TV now? It comes out, it says, calm, 15 seconds, do nothing. That's just take your breath. And don't you feel better after 15 seconds of doing nothing? That's what it's all about.
It's relieving, like a golden stream in a Russian porn video.
So hang on, I just checked my computer, and Thomas, you are right on the money.
Yes.
Toronto is just about totally south. Excuse me, Charlotte is totally south of Toronto, 758 miles.
758 miles?
758.
Oh, not too far. But you know, those Canadian people, they don't say miles, do they?
Kilometers.
Well, how many kilometers is that?
Multiply by 1.6.
Oh, so it's a lot more.
Well,
okay.
It's the same distance expressed in a different way.
Yes, well, okay.
I just wanted to mention something.
You have to measure it out in royals. You play the royals in the end. How many
Elizabeths? How many Elizabeths is it? How many Elizabeths is it?
Yeah, in a royal monarchy. How many Elizabeths? Don't mind my humor,
no,
but it's way out there.
No, wrong thing. I'm talking to the other voice you hear is Blake. I'm talking to Blake inside here, and I'm trying to see what am I talking. Yeah.
What did Blake think of the big storm?
What did you think of the big storm? You scared? No. Yeah, they let them out early yesterday though.
Yeah, and they canceled school today too.
Yeah, and they canceled school today. Yeah. No, yeah, he had school, but public school was closed.
Oh, that's right, because he's in privacy. Yeah, because we were on that delay. They put us on 2-hour delay, and then we waited.
Yeah, he was on 2-hour delay, he said.
Canceled. Yeah, they did.
But public school, I mean, because my other grandson didn't have to go at all.
Nice.
So, anyway.
They were dismissing the children during the tornado.
He said they were dismissing the children while the tornado was hitting.
Well, I have a question because I missed the early part of the show because I was unable to call in at the moment. But why is Mike in Canada? What's going on with Mike?
Who?
Why am I in Canada?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Oh, that's
why is he in Canada?
Story.
Oh, that's a long story. Yeah. But besides
it's not like I got here yesterday. It's now just over 30 years.
Oh, leave that, Blake, please. We have a major.
This is interesting topic. So let me give you the Reader's Digest version of how we got here.
Oh gosh.
Back in the mid-80s, we were living in Greenwich, Connecticut. And I had made a vow when I was younger, because I was a long-haired hippie, rock and roll guitarist when I met my wife.
Oh,
and
God.
We made a vow that if we were ever lucky enough to have a son, I would do everything I could to protect his wife.
Protect his life?
As he got older, as he got his life, L-I-F-E.
Mm-hmm.
As he got older, one day I'm sitting in a couch in Connecticut, and Laurie taps me into my ribs with her right elbow. And she says, what are we going to do about Casey? So I immediately knew what she meant. That started an odyssey for me to try to find a job in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The long and short of it is, all our friends and neighbors in Connecticut poo-pooed the idea that the United States could go to war at any time and a military draft could be resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
So we left town in June of 1989, and a year and a half later, the Gulf War started. And,
mm-hmm.
In July, what was it? No, January of 1990.
Good.
In any event, 500,000 troops, and the same thing that happened to the returning soldiers and military people who were involved in Vietnam with Agent Orange and all the horrific stuff that entailed. Same thing happened, Gulf War Syndrome. The United States basically said, there's no such thing as Gulf War Syndrome. So, you know, I'm a very strong supporter of the military. I don't think the country should go to war unless there's a really, really, really good reason. That's how I got to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very cool.
Uh-huh. Now tell us the real story.
That's the real story.
What's the real story?
So
it has bothered me for my entire life, as long as I've been around. But every time we have a war, you know, we find out after the fact about all the dastardly things that go on. But one of the worst things that goes on is all the chemical contaminants. And, you know, just recently, last week, as a matter of fact, the Pentagon refused to recognize Agent Orange in certain types of countries. So those two guys, which my uncle, were based in the region,
they're still fighting that battle. But,
uh-huh.
You know, they've just recently been getting that thing going into the VA system. So it does really bother me that we have this habit, so to say, of not doing things right and letting our troops that we use suffer for it.
And? Hello? What happened? I lose you?
Can
you not hear me?
Oh, okay. I lost you for a minute. I didn't hear what happened. Okay.
Oh, did I? Where did you lose me?
Yeah, I went off. Somehow I lost it.
Well.
Okay, now I got it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where you lost me, but we'll just not go through the whole thing again. That's all right. Moving on.
Well, it was something about, did you hear him, Michael?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
See, so we didn't hear you, so you got to go back to it again. Go back. Go ahead. I didn't hear you.
That's right.
I mean, it didn't go across. It didn't.
War in general and how we've, history of creating victims, and unfortunately we seem to do it with our own soldiers, you know, with everything from Agent Orange to
why shouldn't we do it with our own soldiers?
No,
I mean, well, why should we do it with everybody else's soldiers, right?
Secret. We shouldn't have these secret elements, and then when they're revealed, we refuse to pay for them for usually a generation until we're finally forced to do so. I just think
You think so? I think you're absolutely correct.
Yeah,
but
I mean, what we just
what do we do?
Past week, the Trump administration denied the expansion of Agent Orange into different cancers. They were trying to get, you know, kidney cancer, bladder cancer, and different things. And they had originally agreed under Obama to accept all of them, and then he blocked it, and then this last week denied that it could be associated. So they had to go back and do research to see if there's any connection between Agent Orange and cancer. You know, I mean, give me a break.
Oh, do you actually think that there is a connection?
Well,
do you think there's actual connection?
Again, it just really bothers me that we put, you know, our own citizens at risk besides the rest of the world. But then, you know, if we're going to go to war, we should support those troops fully. We should give them care for life, and we shouldn't, you know, treat them this way.
Well, I don't know if that's something that we should even consider, since we're all here to defend the homeland as it is. Why should we think about anything else? I mean,
so,
we're
know,
supposed
when
to be
when,
here.
When I first became aware of politics, my father, you know, in the fallout of Nixon, all of that going on, my father, we were in Mississippi. You know, I grew up in Mississippi, right? So,
yes.
Blah, blah, blah. But in all the fallout of all that stuff going on, you know, my uncles were in Vietnam. The president is lying on TV and getting, you know, fixed to be impeached and has to leave, and Ford's in office. And all this stuff. You know, in that whole milieu, my father decided to work for the Carter campaign when he was running for election. So he worked to be much to the, you know, horror of most native Mississippians. And he had been active in politics and things before, and it cost him a lot, you know, business-wise and everything else to, you know, work with those damn Democrats. But anyway, it was my first campaigns ever. I used to go out on the trail with him, you know, put out signs, do things, and go to rallies and stuff. And I remember after Carter got in, you know, one of the first things he did was to kind of formally end the whole horror of Vietnam, and he welcomed back all of the people who had left, and he gave them pardon. And that was considered like next to being the Antichrist by conservatives.
Absolutely.
You know, so, but again, why shouldn't we treat our troops and stuff with all the dignity and respect they have? I don't understand to this day the fact that, you know, Reagan, being the great conservative right after Carter, comes in and, like, one of his first acts is throw veterans into the street and end mental health care in America. I mean, he virtually created the homeless situation overnight. And a large part of that is veterans. You know, we had an entire generation of Vietnam veterans who were spit upon and treated like shit and lived in the street for decades, you know, and that's just not cool to me. So, but anyway, that's my diatribe.
But you see, everybody knows your dad must have been a communist or a socialist for him thinking that way. I mean,
you could probably hear him laughing at you for saying that. Yeah, my dad. Yeah.
I'm sure he thought that. The thing is, though, that can you imagine what it's going to be like if Bernie Sanders is our nominee? What do you think that's going to be like?
Here's the thing, Mike. Let's just ask this question, since this is the refrain of the day. Vote blue, no matter who. Do you think the Democrats are going to unite behind a candidate? I don't care if it's, you know, or whoever, anybody, you know, or if it's just arrived, you know, Big Mike from New York with the billions. Who is it going to be, and are they going to actually reunite behind them, or is it going to be the usual circular sniper squad that says, not that one, not anybody but them?
Well, I think it'll be a major problem if that person is Mr. Bloomberg, because Mr. Bloomberg will rip Mr. Donald J. Trump a new part in his head through that hair transplant that he has now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Mike. I actually have you seen pictures of his mother? It's astounding.
But no,
the genes there. Because you talk about a hair transplant, he has his mother's hair, like literally. It's frightening.
Well, you know the old saying.
And if you don't know, now you know.
the new old saying.
That's right. The new old saying.
I'm asking a serious question, not just goofing around. But say it's Bernie or Sanders. Bernie Sanders or the Burn. You know, say it's one of those horrible, you know, evil communist guys from Mars.
Oh, God.
What are you going to do? Are you going to unite the party? Are we going to defeat Trump? Or are we all going to sit down
well,
and say,
listen,
oh, I can't stand her. What about her emails?
Well, the thing is, will this man that we now know of as Mr. Bernie Sanders,
yes,
will his group of people vote for the person that is nominated? Or will it be like last time?
Golden question. Because, I mean, literally, I probably, you know, 30% of the people I knew last time suddenly were like, I'm not voting when Hillary got nominated. And I was like, are you kidding me? And you see, it cost us. So, you know what?
But a lot of them went to Trump. But a lot of them went to Trump.
So what's going to happen this time? Is it going to work, or is it not?
Well, you know, here's the thing, and these are some of the questions that I'm going to have to ask our Sanders supporter when he comes on next week. There was an election between Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton. Mr. Sanders got almost 50% of the vote in Iowa. He only got like 25.9% this time. Now, you can't say, well, there was a lot more people running. Yeah, but you see, these people were so outlandish. Why did they go to anybody else? Have they lost the Burn?
Well, but in that same argument, no one. I mean, he and Pete, you know, divided up to 25%, and then the rest of them were all down in the, you know, teens or single digits. So nobody
right
any level that they did last time. What's the?
No, I understand, but you see, he should have at least gotten 35%.
Well,
he didn't get that.
Unless you just.
Why?
The conspiracy theory that he did, and they were all just foobarred off because of the, you know, shenanigans with the bad vote and the bad equipment and the apps that don't work.
Well, you see, first of all, that's another reason why there should never be a caucus. That is a bunch of garbage. That is one person, one vote. That's what it should be. This is nonsense. I even go for having the daggone electoral college before I have a daggone caucus. Because it's a bunch of garbage. Because you get 171,000 people there representing 10.5 million people. Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh. And it's all that, you know, good old boy network, old style, you know, get together in the farm and somebody said something, so that means something else, don't you know?
Right. I mean, give me a break.
But yeah. Now, see, I'm all for advancing into the modern age,
And I think we should use technology to solve the problem. However, using some bullshit app that doesn't work is not the answer. But I do think, like we talked about before, just like the same idea with early voting and absentee voting and stuff, they should just have a national, you know, website of every citizen, you know, you log in and you vote or whatever. And they should have an actual vote and have just a simple tally. You'd know in about, you know, 3 nanoseconds once the votes are in as to who won and what the percentage was, you know. One vote, the end.
Well, did you guys hear about this disruption potentially? Well, no, it was a disruption of telecommunications in Iowa when the various managers at each location were trying to call in their tabulations. Won't be surprising to find out in the future if that was Republican-related sabotage. Because apparently the same thing happened in 2002 in New Hampshire.
Well, and if you remember, just this fall, during the impeachment, when they were doing something leading right up to the impeachment, getting ready for the votes and doing all this other stuff, if you remember, they shut down all the Democratic congressional lines with computer-generated phone calls so that they couldn't receive any calls from constituents and stuff like that. So, you know, they were caught doing that. That was very recent. But, yeah, I have absolutely no doubt that they could have hammed up the system or spoofed the system or impacted the system because that's what they do. They could have, you know, or Russia, you know.
Yeah, and that could happen again and again and again.
Oh, okay. Definitely.
Crazy things are happening in the world today, I'll tell you. Oh, here's a newsflash. I saw something about 2 hours ago.
What's that?
The Secret Service is being charged anywhere from $350 a day to $650 a day when they're in Mar-a-Lago protecting the dear president.
Why are they being charged?
Yep. We're picking up the tab for it. That's going to be a hell of a, how shall I put it, a newsworthy event when all of these facts come out at a later date as to how much the taxpayer in the United States has paid to support Trump's trips personally between Mar-a-Lago and other places. It's a tremendous amount of money.
Then, what's his name, Mnuchin or whoever recently blocked all of that data from coming out?
You're probably right.
They said they won't release anything until after the election because they don't want the bad press, but...
Yeah,
and this is another thing about you know, money and things going on with him. Just like I mentioned earlier with the emoluments clause, which I still don't understand that ruling when they said that the congressman who filed the motion didn't have any standing to file such a lawsuit. But you have this guy who continually abuses the system in every way possible, and there's zero accountability. So what is the answer to that? How do we make him accountable for any of the things that he's doing wrong, whether it's charging, you know, agencies for their own services or, which I just saw just this news story last night, he ordered the archives, I don't know if you saw this, but the National Archives, he ordered them to destroy all the records of his administration. And they are
no kidding.
So he ordered them like all the everything that they did with the environmental agency, everything they've done with all that kind of stuff. He has ordered them to destroy all of it, said that it's not needed, and they don't need to keep any of it on file. And so they said National Archives has agreed. They're destroying everything. Listed all of the data as temp data so that they could destroy it and not keep it for a permanent record for the National Archives.
God, that is something.
Well, that just prevents future lawsuits. I mean, there's no way to check data if it's gone.
Well, go on.
Okay, everybody still there? I was cut off.
We're still here.
Yeah, we're here.
Did you just hear the latest news as I was hooking back up? They just escorted Lieutenant Colonel Vindman out of the White House. He's been fired.
Probably. They've been talking about it for a couple of days now. So, yeah, that's not surprising. But that's
He needs to sue them now. He needs to sue them. Because, you see, you can't be fired for something that you did while you were that was not illegal.
Well, yeah, but Mike, talking about illegal, we have senators, you know, I'm looking at you.
I understand that, but you see, he's an officer in the Army.
The Senate calling out the names of
I understand that.
People
but
who are reporting crimes, which is a crime. So why aren't they being escorted out of the building?
But you see, because they're not part of the Army. He can file lawsuit against the White House and the Army, especially if the Army don't put up with it. Doesn't stand up for him.
Well, isn't it serving at the leisure of the
He's an active duty officer.
As I said, recently, we are just one tiny little step away from an autocracy.
Oh yeah.
One little tiny step away.
This is just outrageous.
It is outrageous.
It is frightening.
Well, what's really bothered me the most about all of this, Mike, like I was just talking to Mike while you were gone about, you know, the order he gave where he's having all of his records destroyed by the National Archives now. And, you know, we saw just the other day at the horrific showing at the National Prayer Service and at the White House where he's just – being super vindictive and promising to go after every Democrat and destroy him, you know. So we've got a guy who is using the whole structure of government as a personal tool to investigate and hammer his opponents and obstruct any investigation. So, I mean, what's really bothered me the most about this, you're saying we're really close to something. I think we're there because he has proven that all of these agencies are not independent. They're not standing up. Everything from the courts to Congress to everything else is folding. And they're not you don't see any kind of mass anything. All you've seen is mass quitting because people are told to do illegal things and they decide not to personally. But then he just replaces them with people who do anything
he will.
So
yeah.
I don't know the answer, but it seems as if we're really, really already there because our government has folded far quicker than I thought it would. I thought we would be able to sustain 4 years of damage and not have any actual damage, but we aren't.
It's certainly a mess. I agree with you, Thomas. Well, one thing I'm going to look into, you know, the popular vote versus the Electoral College. There have been a number of proposals floated previously to move towards a true popular vote. I'm going to find the podcast that was out about a year ago on the Joe Rogan show. I'm forgetting the name of the party who was interviewed. It was Lawrence something or other. But in any event, here's an example. Only recently I heard the following. 18% of the country by population elects 52 senators. So the Senate
18% of the country. 18% of the country elects 52 senators?
52 senators. So at the end of the day, you know, where's that dictum, one person, one vote?
Where is it?
Yeah, but you see, it's that.
Right.
I don't even think it's that. I don't even think it's that, because I think that it's the Senate that elects the man who's in charge of the Senate that does it.
Well,
because
if
the man
elector...
in charge who's in charge of the Senate puts the man's name forward, then he gets elected. If not, forget it.
No. We need to zero in on changing the Electoral College at some point. The sooner the better. We need to get...
Well, the Electoral College is not
going to
help elected senators. The only thing to help is... Because if we didn't have Mitch McConnell in there, there's a Democrat in there, we wouldn't have these morons in the court system or in the Senate.
The immediate cure is to get out the vote in November and get rid of Trump if he's still in office. That simple.
Oh, well, absolutely correct. Absolutely right.
Oh,
yeah.
And
this
goes back to something we had talked about many a time over the years, Mike, but one of my things that angers me the most and I find most tragic, every Democratic administration in my lifetime, all they've been able to do and accomplish is to repair the damage of the Republicans before them and then try to do a few very minor, you know, advancements in society of some kind. But usually
that's true.
Extremely minor. And usually all they do is recovery.
And you know the reason behind that is because that when Democrats win, they don't normally win by enough votes to control the Senate.
Well,
so whenever they lose, whenever you lose in the non-presidential years, they lose the Senate, and then these guys just rip everything through.
Right.
So an example of what you're touching on now is, as an example, would be the Trump tax cut for the well-to-do, causing deficit spending, leading the administration to say, well, we don't have any money. We need to cut these programs back.
That's right. That's
we
right.
We need to take 700,000 people off of food stamps.
That's correct.
Right.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And then when you don't control the House, the bills that you would put through that could get to the Senate never get through. And when you control the House, the bills you put through that get through to the Senate sit on the desk, like Mitch McConnell has 300 bills sitting in his drawer of his desk in the Senate right now.
Yeah, it's closer to
300 and something bills.
It's closer to 400, of which 275 were quote unquote bipartisan, including one bill that would lower the cost of purchasing pharmaceutical drugs. It's on Mitch's desk. Old Moscow Mitch won't release it.
Yeah, HR3.
But if you remember, just like under Obama, they said that they would refuse any victory for him at all, even if it was their own bill. They wouldn't let it through.
Yes.
So
that's right.
It doesn't matter. It's just all about winning, quote unquote, and or just gaming the system. But that's what they do. What's the answer? We have to either overwhelmingly win every election and take over every branch of government, with a vast majority, or it doesn't work. Because
But how you do that when people just don't come out and vote?
No one's voting. If they don't know that it's crucial to do so in this November, and to make sure that they've test-checked to make sure that they're still registered because of vote suppression around the country, people better get out to vote, period.
Right.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, when do you learn that, hey, I guess I better get out and vote this time. What does that come up?
Well,
I mean, I don't understand.
What's to make you think that
now's the time that you can vote?
You know, there's two sides. One, there's personal accountability. People need to do the right thing. But there is also just to, you know, play devil's advocate. The Republicans have spent, you know, my entire life just trashing the name of government itself so that people are totally, totally, completely disgusted and disgruntled and upset with it and think that their votes don't matter. I hear that all the time, over and over and over when I talk to people. Oh, my vote doesn't matter. I gave up. So, you know, they've done the job well because that's what they do to suppress the vote.
So here's
but
the thing,
right,
guys.
It is people's responsibility.
I need to get off the phone soon, but Super Tuesday is March 3rd. I think whatever happens in South Carolina, followed by Super Tuesday, will determine who will be the nominee. And I really don't know who that person will be.
Well, just to ask you, since you don't have too much time, because I'm just curious, because it's looking, not to be dire, but the front runner, chosen one, should be senior official appointed to the post type guy, Joe Biden, is failing in the contest so far. And
yep, I'd agree.
Unless he pulls something out, you know, amazingly, the next one, going into South Carolina, it will be his last chance at all. And the good news is he does have a bulwark with African-Americans in the South. Well, that's good. But do you foresee him being able to actually pull it out? Or do you think that too much time has gone by and people are just wanting change and they're choosing these new faces like Pete Buttigieg just because?
You know, I think it's time for a change, but I'm still torn as to who can actually beat Trump. I still think it's a bit of a toss-up.
Listen, I think any of these people could beat Trump. The only problem is, do the people get out and vote? That's the only problem. By accident, they can all beat Trump. Because we have more voters than they do. The problem is, do they come out and vote? That's the only thing.
Right.
I mean, Trump won the Electoral College by 77,500-something votes in three states. And in those three states, 10.5 million did not vote. So what are we talking about here? It doesn't make any sense. All you got to do is go and get your ass out and vote. That's all.
Right. Well,
and you can stop talking about it for 4 years.
I'm still toying with the idea of just getting out of Toronto for a month prior to the election and going to places like Michigan or wherever I may be needed to get out the vote.
Hey, that's the most important
all
thing.
You need to do is vote.
Well, I
that's
will
all
be
you
voting.
Need to do. Well, then, that's like that. You did your part. We got to get these other
vote.
People who don't do their part. And don't just go out and vote.
Yeah, but hold on. But my vote is out of Connecticut, which is the blue state. So if I don't vote, it's really not going to be critical. But if I could get
every vote
people,
counts. Every vote counts.
In certain places more than others.
True.
Yes, that's true. But the problem is, when you say that, other people get the wrong ideas.
I don't care who wins the contest of willpower here. Whoever gets chosen, then they should turn around and ask Michelle Obama to be the running mate. And then they'll win.
That would be interesting.
Oh, man.
I mean,
you know, they need some power, and apparently, I'm sorry, but somehow Biden is feeling old and lackluster this time or something. He's not sparking. So they need something to spark up. I mean, something's got to
change. Hey, I have a question. When you're getting your ass kicked, every day. When you're getting lashed every day. When you get no food every day. What the hell insight do you need to get out and do something about it? You mean you need someone to come in? Here I am. I'll help you. No, you should get out and do it yourself.
Yep.
Why do you need someone to say, hey, look, I'm here. I'm running. Jeez, give me a break. I always hear that from people. Well, they need somebody to help them get out. Bullshit. They need to get out there and do it themselves. I mean, you're already getting your butt kicked.
Hey, I just saw that this afternoon, you know, Biden shook up his administration. He kicked off somebody in the campaign, and he put in an Obama official. And maybe she'll make a difference. But again, you're very pertinent. I don't care who you have running the thing. Biden
That's right.
is the guy up front. And Biden better step the hell up because he's getting his ass kicked all over. And I know he can go on TV
and say,
ass kicked before. Well, that's good, Biden. Now, do something about it.
Yeah, but, you know, here, as I was saying, excuse me, as I was saying before, you should not have to have someone tell you, come out and vote for me. You know what you need to do. If you don't, you're completely stupid or dead. Anybody on the dartboard you vote for, anybody except for you know who.
Here's a trick question. This will never happen in the United States. Because the Republicans would make sure that it would be defeated. Do you know what the voting participation rate is in Australia?
No, probably 80%.
All eligible voters. You know what it is? It's somewhere around 98%.
And why is that?
You want to know why? You want to know why?
Yes.
If you don't vote, you're fined. X dollars, and I don't think it's a lot of money. It could be $150. People go out to vote. 98%, something like that. Gentlemen, I need to run. Have
All
fun.
Right.
Keep the faith. Stay away from tornadoes.
Well, I'm going to try. I'll be low. Listen, there's no such thing as tornadoes because this doesn't happen. The man in the White House says it doesn't. There's no such thing as climate change. I mean, that's a myth. It's a myth.
You keep this
it's
up and people start believing in science. What's wrong with you?
God, how are they going to ever believe in science? Give me a break here. Believe in science. Science is a loser. You're right. Science is a loser.
Welcome to America. We're
taking
care, guys.
America.
Proud of it.
All right.
Bye for now.
Well, take care,
Well, Mr. Fortenberry, you went down to see the man in the White House here at CBCC today?
You know, I thought about it, and then I was like, spend the rest of my life in prison, you know, so I stayed home.
Oh, I guess you're right. What's the purpose of that?
I know that he showed up and all, but I hope, you know, that no one showed up. I hope it was bad weather, roads were
well,
bugged.
I don't know how many people showed up, but he talked about how it was, everything was so wonderful, and he spent the first, 45 minutes, a half hour, thanking the people like Fox and all these other clowns here in the state that I hope have a horrible time in getting reelected. But other than that, his greatest hits again. That's what it was. His greatest hits.
Well, and there was also this. So I was listening to radio this morning, taking the kids to work and stuff, and you know, on Charlotte Talks, they had some people on there, and they had a reporter who was in a room waiting at the campus to see Trump, and he was just talking in general about their procedure. And so they had to show up, like, you know, 6 in the morning and go through security, and then they were let in and locked in a room, and they're going to be locked in there until noon or whenever. And then they said that they would have, when Trump, he was having meetings with officials and stuff and politicians all morning long, and they were having debates, and they had the HUD secretary there and doing all this other stuff, but they weren't allowed into any of the meetings, into any of the debates, nothing to get. And then at the very end, they said when he gave his speech, they could come out, and they were able to see him for about 10 minutes or whatever, walk by, and that if he wanted to, he would make remarks or talk to them. And that's what they were waiting for. They said, we're waiting to see him to see if he will speak to us. And I said, that's a sea change in American journalism, isn't it? Where you wait in a locked room for the emperor to walk by, and maybe he will glance at you. You know?
Right.
Can you imagine in the olden days that's how the press corps worked? I mean, isn't that sad?
I can't believe that. No. Yeah, of course it didn't work like that.
They'd be hounding
you. They're going, yes, the press corps, the press corps would have their, the press corps would have their meeting, and during the daily meeting with the White House, and they would blast that guy. That guy would shoot. The old woman wouldn't even get a chance to say their name before they were blasted.
Of course. Yep. And, you know, all of those meetings they were talking about in the olden days, the entire meeting took place. The whole crowd was the press corps.
That's correct. That's correct.
Now everything is secret. Everything is secret, secret, secret. Can't know anything.
Well, because
government
he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say anything at these meetings, except if it's something where he's going to make a dime. If he's going to make a dime.
No, you missed it. It's this. He stands up and he does this. So let it be written. So let it be done.
Yes, so let it be done.
That's what he said.
That's the new phrase. That's the same thing. But they're showing a little bit on time. I'm at my Samantha's house now watching it because my house is still without electricity. And he's showing in his background. Opportunity Now he has in the background.
Opportunity
yes,
Now. There's a
opportunity
slogan.
Now, right. We don't know what kind of opportunity, but it's some sort of opportunity now.
It's
that's what he's saying.
Some kind of opportunity. It's now time.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, you never know. It's just completely outlandish. This man,
well,
I use that term loosely.
I'm so glad that he's in there because, boy, I knew opportunity before. Now I got opportunity.
Oh, man.
Thank God.
Are you kidding me? Of course. This is just it's just amazing. That's all it is. It's amazing. Now Vindman needs to go out and sue the heck out of this fool. Needs to sue the heck out of him.
Yeah, he does.
He needs to.
Well,
who's
going
to prevent him from Vindman becoming a fool?
So I'm wondering what Bolton's going to do.
Well, because he can't do nothing to Bolton. Can't do nothing to Bolton because Bolton is not a military officer. Yeah, well, I don't know how he's going to destroy him. I wouldn't try to really fool with Bolton too much.
Nifty reversing of the government agencies. So, probably the Lindsey and all his buddies in the Senate. They're coming after the Democrats.
Yeah.
They're going after, the Bidens.
They said that's amazing.
Fastest ever.
The Treasury and all the other agencies of government are turning over documents. They turned over several.
Oh, yeah.
Just tens of thousands of documents
now. An unprecedented thing all within 24 hours. And yet these are the same agencies that have stonewalled the Democrats for 3 years, saying they can't turn over any.
And now they're turning
everything over.
Right. Without even a subpoena.
Exactly. So
you can hear
again, when the government is used as a weapon instead of a functioning government, what is the answer to that?
Get rid of the man and vote him out of office.
That is the only remedy.
That is the only remedy. You're absolutely right.
Frightening, Mike.
And if you don't know, now you know.
If you don't know, now you know. It's as simple
now
as that.
You know.
Oh. Well, next week's debate that we're going to have will be, I am going to be, as I said, an impartial arbiter.
Uh-oh. You impartial?
And I will be, that's right, absolutely. Those who don't understand that will now know that. I will be impartial. That's true. That's what I'm going to say. And just as I, where did I say? Just as I said in the previous, I'm operating this on my cell phone. I remember. So
next week we're going to have the debate.
That's right. Next week we're going to have the debate.
Lose any more people before the next?
The debate now on TV tonight?
I believe.
Yep.
Well, what do you think about the real dark horse in the game here, the Tom Steyer? What do you think about that guy?
Nah.
Because, you know, he's been polling at, you know, zero since the beginning. However, he did come out first, I think, and he's got the same power since he's a billionaire. He can stay as long as he wants, so he doesn't have to ever leave.
That's right.
What do you think about that guy? I mean, he could end up being a player simply because he outlasts everybody and ends up being the only other person on stage with the final nominee. You know what I mean? That's what I'm asking. Because it's kind of like the, Mike Bloomberg effect in a way, and a little bit different because he came in on his own power way early. But he's a billionaire who steps in and can kind of just stay whenever he wants. And he's not beholden, unfortunately, Kamala Harris and other people who were doing well, and Cory Booker and all, who were doing well on their own, but they just couldn't quite keep up monetarily, so they ended up having to drop out. So,
the thing is that I don't know why we're getting so upset over this one freaking thing in Iowa. Give me a break.
I don't want to upset. You know, people out there in caucus land, but that whole farmland crap, maybe we'll be first, but we're not really first.
Right.
We're kind of like a vote, but we're not having a vote. And it needs to be.
They should never have another anything out there in Iowa.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked for years. It's always a fiasco of always these random weird things waiting on some farm community to get the vote in on horseback after 3 weeks or so. It's always a fiasco, and it never seems legit. So just why have it? Why are we wasting time on it?
I have no idea. How are you going to claim 171 or 181 million people or 216, I mean, 1,000 people come out and vote and say that takes place of 10 and a half million. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it.
You want to take a really impactful type vote? I would love to see these primaries happening like L.A., New York, you know, maybe Miami, somewhere like that, and shake some crap up, man. Let's have, like, you know, 10 million people vote. Let's see how that works, you know.
Yes.
And then at the last day of the entire election, we'll wind up in a farm paddy somewhere. We'll find out what they think.
Well, I want to know what else they told Colonel Vindman. They stripped him of his rank. They have to be able to see if we can fight that, you know, because he did nothing wrong.
There's got to be a lot going on because they held on to him throughout all of it because they were scared of blowback. But now that the trial
that's what they were scared of blowback. Well, now they're going to hit the blowback.
But so what is going to be the blowback now? I mean, is it just
it's going to be the same?
Is that the only
blowback,
or is it
well that's the only blowback. They're going to get blowback from him, one, for firing him, two, because you cannot be fired for testifying. I don't care what you say.
Right.
You can't be fired for testifying. So now they can eliminate that job. That'd be the only way. But you can't be escorted out like you're a thug. There has to be some other thing. And whatever it is, if he was escorted out, that means he was fired. And if he's fired, there better be a damn good reason. They found his hand in the cookie jar or up Melania's dress.
Right.
And I don't know why he put his hand up Melania's dress. Please, give me a break. No shape at all, just like a stick. Anyway, the thing is that the thing is that you have to have some reason. And they bet, unless they were all this time they were thinking up a reason what they could do that they could get away with, that they think they can get away with, but you know they may not still been able to get away with it. Might not still be able to get away with it. Well, we got two more minutes here. We got two more minutes where we can say happy trails to you until we meet again.
Happy trails to you.
Since I'm on my cell phone here, and I don't have all my media stuff.
In these last minutes, I'll say I hope your power comes back. Hope
you recover. Yeah, well, it was since last night about 4 o'clock in the morning. I haven't had it. So it's been 12 hours.
That's rough.
So, yeah.
And after a while, they'll start affecting food. You better.
I know. But I haven't. I opened up the refrigerator one time to get some grapefruit juice out, and that's the only time I close it back. I haven't done anything else with it, so we'll just hope that it's going to remain cold.
Exactly.
So now
they're
showing Vindman. What happened here? They were just showing you here. What the hell happened? Oh, man. What happened? They were just talking about Vindman here. And now the daggone thing froze. Oh, man. Give me a break.
That's okay. It'll all be coming out in the next couple hours anyway.
HDMI 1. Huh? Your HDMI 2, right?
1.
Oh, okay. I got the 1. That's 2. Let's see here. Composite. Come on, what are you talking about, S video? Come on, what's the next component one? Come on, 2. PC, come on. 2. Come on. Oh, man.
know, you give me a break here. I'm operating another TV that's not mine. I'm doing TV component two. Where's the HDMI one? PC? Oh, there it is. Okay, now what? It's there. It's not coming up. What's going on? No, it says no signal.
Well,
oh God,
you'll eventually get there, buddy. It'll be all right.
Yeah, well, all right, ladies and gentlemen in the audience. I don't know what else we're going to say here, but that's going to have to be it for this Friday. We'll have to take this part back tomorrow, next Friday, and see what the deal is. Because
I imagine we'll have a whole week here of vindictiveness from the White House and
introspection
from the Democrats. So,
I want to hear what Rachel says tonight about this.
Oh yeah, well she's our bright and shining journalistic star these days.
Well, we have to see here because this is just completely. He always overcompensates.
Yep.
So let's see.
Well, you know, it's just like impeachment. He's his own worst enemy. He goes too far and he causes his own problems. So
that's right.
Hopefully he'll hang himself.
Oh man, but I like to see it when he does that. When he hangs himself.
Well, we'll see it soon enough. Soon enough, Mike.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. And as we say in the old West, happy trails to you until we meet again. That was Roy Rogers. And that was Jackie. Happy trails to Roy Rogers. How do you until we meet again? All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. And remember, what you don't know, now you know.
Cheers, Mike.
That's right. That's right. Okay, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye, Thomas. Say hello, everybody.
Will do. Take care. And hope your power is
okay. Yes. Bye.